Blog Talk Radio. guys. Shalom. Good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of the Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Shabba. I'm the teacher with the ISBHPK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, located here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as we're broadcasting live from our school here, located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. I'd like to welcome you out to our show. As you know, you can reach us here on blogstarradio.com. /Mashaba. That's one way you can type it to the show. Also, you can call into the show and listen live at area code 646-668-2568. Again, area code 646-668-2568 is one way you can reach in and contact and connect to the show as we broadcast. As you know, we have our morning broadcast that we broadcast every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We try to go from 8:30 in the morning to 10:30. But we had some, today was just one of them days. Everything was just running late. We do apologize for myself. I do apologize and everything. We get started a little bit later, but we're still going to go ahead and continue with the show. Again, our normally regular scheduled programs for the Blog Talk is Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, Thursday mornings at 8:30 in the morning to about 10:30. And as you know, we're here every evening, Monday through Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We invite you to come check us out. Come and join us here at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We are on the south side of Manal between Wyoming and Pennsylvania, directly across the street from Blake Slaughterburger and the Colgan Water Software Company is located directly across the street. come and check us out. I'm going to go through all the announcements this morning. This Saturday, we will be observing the day of Pentecost coming up this Saturday, June 8th, 2019. And we invite you to come and check us out as we will be meeting at, it looks like we're going to be meeting at in Budo Park, in Budo Trailhead Park, located at the top of Manal, of Indian School, excuse me, located at the top of Indian School. We're going to be meeting there. We're looking at meeting there at 11. And getting everything started around between 12 and 1. Yeah, having it set up at 11, and getting things underway, having a feast and enjoying each other starting at 12 noon. And we invite you to come and join us for the day of Pentecost. Real quick, somebody please read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. And last time we was doing this, you was too far away over there.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16.
You sound real clear like that.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty.
All right, so we're familiar with over the years that we get together for Passover, and that was the Lord's Last Supper. It was also his birthday, even though those are birthdays, that we always make the Passover a big deal, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But there's 3 times that the Israelite men were required to appear before the Most High. The unleavened bread, Passover, a feast of weeks, which is Pentecost. And we understand the word Pentecost means 50th day. Right? We understand the word Pentecost means 50th day. And all males are supposed to appear before the Most High. And it's another opportunity for us to come together. Right? It's another opportunity for us to assemble together. And that's what we want to get to that practice of. And we want to get to that rehearsal of. If you were able to tune in last night, we did start to go over the high holy days. We did start to go over the holy convocations. And basically, we're going to go ahead and continue that again today. If you didn't catch last night's show, as you know, if you go to Google Podcasts, download the app. And once you've downloaded the app, we advise you to go to go through the app and get to www.blogtalkradio.com. Go through the app and go to blogtalkradio.com. Once you get there, You go to the search box and type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and then you'll be able to click the button and subscribe, and that'll give you access to all of our episodes. Going all the way back 9 years that we've been doing Blog Talk, every one of our episodes is on there in chronological order, from the latest to the oldest. So I invite you to go ahead and check it out. If you missed any part of the class last night or any of the classes that we might have done or produced, we invite you to go ahead and check it out through the Google Podcast. And again, blogtalkradio.com. Once you get there, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. Real quick, as you know, we have a YouTube channel with the brothers in Houston. We're supposed to have one here in Albuquerque. And hopefully we'll be getting that up real soon. But as you know, you can go, you can check out the brothers in Houston, check out their live stream classes, Mondays and Wednesdays, as I pull the schedule up here, Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then they have the Sabbath ceremony that they do every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And as you know, you can like, share, subscribe to your YouTube channels, ISBHPK Live, or the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, or 5 Minutes of Wisdom, or ISBHPK Kids. We ask you to like, share, and subscribe to each one of their YouTube channels as they broadcast their classes live, and you can check them out. Again, and that's Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then Sabbath class from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. As you know, also on Tuesdays, they have a public access channel that they show that they do called The Hidden Truth. It's a 1-hour show that is broadcast on Comcast Houston cable channel number 17. We invite you to check that out every Tuesday night at beginning at 8:30 p.m. All right. You can also access them through hmstv.org. You can also access them through hmstv.org. We invite you to go and check them out. Visit the business they have set up, Sweet Ambiance, located at First Colony Mall, for ladies in essential oils, aromatherapy, beard oils, and handmade custom-made soaps. Sweet Ambiance, First Colony Mall, Sugar Land, Texas. Our school in San Antonio is having class again tonight. Tonight being Thursday night, as you know. Brother Kawaka will be teaching at 4219 Syndicate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 72-17. His class tonight begins at 7 p.m. His class begins tonight at 7 p.m. and goes until 10 p.m. We invite you to go and check them out at the school, Sword of Truth, located at 4219 Syndicate Drive, there in San Antonio, Texas. If you'd like to help us out here in Albuquerque with any donations, financial, if you have any financial donations that you can help us out with, the Google Wallet, you know, that's what I don't have. It's you can say it kind of loud.
It's ISBHPKABQ@gmail.com.
ISBHPKABQ@gmail.com. All right, cool. If you'd like to help us out here in Albuquerque with the tithes, priest funds, offerings, and what have you, you can reach us through the Google Pay or Google Wallet at ISBHPKABQ@gmail.com. Maybe you have any school supplies you'd like to help donate to the school. School supplies, pens, papers, notebooks, computers, laptops, desktops, tablets, Bibles, dictionaries, apographers, encyclopedias. Please see us here, 7710 Suite F, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87110. Come and check us out. With that, we're going to pick up a little bit from where we left off with last night, as I'm joined by the brothers Imad and Yonathan. Good morning, brothers. What's going on?
Shalom. Good morning. Imad. I don't know. I guess the first thing that comes to mind, weather's a little strange. We usually don't get rain here in Albuquerque this time of year, but we have been lately. It's usually the driest and hottest part of the year, but anyways, a lot as far as the weather, since I brought that up, there's a lot of things going on And as far as the weather across the country, flooding, tornadoes just tearing up the country, a little unusual this year. Here in New Mexico, the weather's unusual, but not as extreme. But it's I believe it's a sign that that the Most High is turning the heat up, because he's in control of everything. And it goes along with prophecy. So I've been kind of keeping an eye on that myself, as well as the other prophecies. Listen to on the news, it's actually walruses jumping off of cliffs to their deaths due to the climate change. I don't know what that's all about, but I kind of want to look a little bit more into that. It's a little strange, but I don't know if it has anything to do with mass animal deaths. But anyway, there's some interesting things going on here and there. But I don't know what else I can add to that right now. But I am looking forward to Pentecost this weekend. We make something special out of it. We get together and we bring food. We feast. It is a feast day. For those of y'all that can that are listening in, they're in Albuquerque area, can join us. Should we have our minds made? We do have our minds made up about the place, right? You said Embudo Trailhead Park, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are having it there. So that's if you take Indian School all the way past Tramway going east, and you run right into the foothills, you're basically going to run into that park. But yeah, check us out this weekend at Embudo Park as we celebrate the Most High, one of the Most High holy days, the Feast of Pentecost, which is basically the last day of the Feast of the First Fruits, the 50th day since it started shortly after Passover, about a month and a half ago. So I hope to see you all there. Those of you who are able to join us, if you can, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it is one of the three high holy days that all the men are required to gather on. So please try to make it. If you can, you don't have to work. If you can get out of work, great. Try to make it, and just bring yourselves and bring a contribution if possible. That's all I have.
Shalom, Israel. Just on what he was talking about the floods and everything else. Ecclesiastes 39 and 28 says, there be spirits that are created for the vengeance, which in their fury lay on sore strokes, and in a time of destruction they pour out their force and appease the wrath of him that made them. Fire and hail and famine and death, all these are created for vengeance. So if you want to look at it like that, all this flooding that's going on, there's a purpose for it. There's Most High is actually the one in control of it, and he is causing all this flooding and everything in Arkansas and places across the U.S. That's all I got to say for right now. So I know we got to go ahead and get started in our class and the blog talk. And
you want to try adding that scripture to what I was bringing up? These things are created for vengeance. That's a good thought. Good food for thought, rather. To appease his wrath. The Most High is upset with the way things are going on. If I could just add to that and expound a little further on it. The Most High is not happy with the way things have been going, with the way things have been going on this earth. First of all, the wrong people are in charge, but there is a reason for that. But secondly, the children of Israel are supposed to be waking up, and everything is backwards and upside down. It says, woe to them to call good evil, evil good. You got it twisted. You got it turned upside down. Everything is out of order. So why wouldn't the Most High be upset about that? So in his anger and his fury, one of the things that he does is he sends spirits like the weather. If he's not working through wild animals, if he's not working through people to carry out destruction, to carry out his wrath, he's working through the weather. extreme weather phenomenon, hurricanes, earthquakes, hailstorms. I was just listening to that on the news this morning. We had softball-sized hail in just outside of Roswell this morning. Caught that on the news as well. That's dangerous. When you got hail that big coming falling out of the sky, it's very dangerous. You get knocked out. You can possibly suffer brain trauma. You can die from something like that. So that's no joke. But you got tornadoes ripping up half the country. From the Midwest to the East Coast, you got flooding. From the Midwest to the East Coast, all over the place, just he's not happy. So that scripture just is an indicator. The Most High is not happy with the way things have been going. So at the water again for bringing that out. I just wanted to further expound on that, but that's it for me.
And that's the importance of us going over this class this morning, and all the classes we do is trying to help Israel to understand what we need to be doing. Give me two scriptures real quick. Give me Romans 13:11, and also give me Zephaniah 2:1. Give me Romans 13:11 and Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 1. That as we see these signs coming to pass, as we see these prophecies coming to pass, and these events happening, that Christ also told us and warned the disciples and the apostles many times, watch and let us pray. That we're supposed to really be paying attention to all these prophecies and all this type of phenomenon, if you will, that's taking place, and let us know what time it is and what it is that as we as Israelites, what it is we should be doing. Romans 13:11, please.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
And again, there's many prophecies that are taking place where to give Israelites the identity of what time we're living in, right? To give Israelites the identity and markers to be able to measure the time and know what time we're actually living in so that the day of the Lord does not catch us like a thief in the night, and the day of the Lord doesn't catch us slipping, right? And there's certain things that now we as Israelites are supposed to be doing and preparing ourselves for. And one of the things that we're really supposed to be doing is practicing unifying, practicing gathering together. This is one thing that's imperative for us and imperative for our safety. That as the Most High said that in Second Esdras chapter 9, he informed us that he's going to strike Egypt with plagues like he did before. And if we're going to take heed to that, if we're going to pay attention to that, then we know that as the plague struck the Egyptians, the Israelites were saved from those plagues touching the Israelites. But for what reason? Because the Israelites were gathered together in Goshen. That where we were at throughout the whole kingdom of Egypt, and let's make sure we take that into consideration, that true enough, around the Nile was the capital of Egypt, no doubt. But the Egyptian empire reached all the way up to Turkey. Right? It reached all the way up to Assyria, is what I'm trying to say. It reached all the way up to Assyria and all the way down to below Ethiopia. That their empire was vast. So Israelites were scattered throughout the whole empire. But the one thing that we did as these plagues were striking is that we gathered ourselves together. And that was our safety. That whenever anything else hit the Egyptians, what saved the Israelites was that we were gathered together. So that those conditions, those plagues did not touch us. Those plagues did not affect us. That for us, it was just work as usual. Yeah, we just went ahead and went to work as usual. That the Most High didn't attack us. He didn't attack the Israelites unless we were still among the Egyptians. Unless we were still trying to live as Egyptians. Then we got touched. But as long as Israelites came together, those plagues did not affect us. So we also know that, if we read that one more time, Romans 13:11, one more time, please.
Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
Again, and that knowing the time, that it's high time for us to awake out of sleep. Read.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
True enough. For now is our salvation even closer or even nearer than when we believed. But if we're not paying attention to the prophecies and the events that's happening, It's real easy. If you're already asleep, you want to stay asleep. If you're already asleep, it's easy to stay in that groggy state, in that grumpy state, in that want to go back to sleep state. That if you're not being diligent, being vigilante, if you will, and observing and looking for these signs, observing and looking for these plagues, observing looking for these events, that you will be caught slipping. All right? You will be caught slipping. You won't see the importance of us to gather together. You won't see the importance of us coming together, and you'll be caught up like most Americans are about to get caught up. Like most of the world is about to get caught up because they're not paying attention to the prophecies. And again, give me Romans 15 and 4. Give me Romans chapter 15 and verse 4.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
And I love the scripture. I bring it out a lot. That, again, things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. It was written for us to take heed to, pay attention to. And when we go back and we read the Exodus out of Egypt, the deliverance from the land of Egypt, it was already, the Israelites were already under a lot of rigor and an extreme oppression in their captivity under the Egyptians. And in most of us, he heard our cry. And that's when he sent Moses. And we know that when Moses brought the knowledge of salvation, matter of fact, let me get that scripture real quick. Also, I need that.
Knowledge of salvation?
Yeah.
Timothy 2:4.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 1 verse 76. I'm holding Romans 15 and 4. If somebody can read Romans 15 and 4 while the other brother is getting Luke 1 76, please.
Luke chapter 1, verse 76.
Okay, first Romans 15 and 4.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
And again, things written aforetime were written for our learning. It was written, we're supposed to be learning from the things that were written down aforetime, from those prophecies that were written down and became history, that is supposed to be for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope. Because the way things are designed, the way these plagues are coming, the way the things are set up, it's designed to make a person feel hopeless. It's designed to make a person feel powerless. It's designed to make a person feel desperate. But the thing that's written to give a person comfort, an Israelite comfort, are the scriptures. And that we're supposed to learn from events that happened in the past and how the Lord did things in the past, we're supposed to be learning from, so that now we might have hope and we might have comfort through what's written in the scriptures. Now, the reason I'm bringing that out is if we go back and we study, we read when Moses, now give me Luke chapter 1, verse 76.
Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation.
To do what?
To give knowledge of salvation.
That we know that this was speaking to John the Baptist, who came before, who was sent before Christ as a prophet. And what was John the Baptist's job in verse 77?
To give knowledge of salvation.
To give Israelites the knowledge of salvation. To give us the knowledge of salvation. Now, the reason I'm pulling this and referencing this, I want to tie this thing together with when Moses appeared to the Israelites after his 40 years in the land of Midian, after he escaped from killing the Egyptian and he went to the land of Midian. He stayed there for 40 years, and then he came back after the Most High appeared to him in the burning bush on the mountain. When Moses brought the message to the Israelites that now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, had heard our cry in Egypt and that he was going to save us, did not Moses bring to us as a prophet the knowledge of salvation in ancient Egypt?
Okay.
Yes, he did. He brought the knowledge of salvation to the Israelites. Immediately after getting the knowledge of salvation, what did Pharaoh do to the Israelites after we got the knowledge of salvation?
He had more heavy fetters. He made our work harder. He took the government assistance away from us and made our lives harder. Made us make sure we stay busy. Like, if you got time to think about your God and your salvation, you're not busy enough. Y'all need more work to do. So no more assistance and the supplies that you need to do your work. Now you need to go and fetch your own supplies and continue to work. Y'all need more work to do.
Kind. And it caused us, when we go back and read Exodus chapter 2, it caused us to be spread again throughout all Egypt, trying to find work, so we can keep up with the daily quota, so we can feed our families, so we keep up with the cost of living at that time. But what I want to reference and that we're supposed to learn from is after Moses brought the knowledge of salvation to the Israelites, did things get better for us or did things get worse for us?
Worse.
Things got worse for us. So if things written aforetime were written for our learning. From Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11, Ecclesiastes 3:15, it tells us that the Most High requires that which is past. And that things that happened in the past are going to be things that going to happen in the future. And that history repeats itself. So if we're going to learn anything, as we got the knowledge of salvation from the hand of Moses, what was life like for us in Egypt after we got the knowledge of salvation? It got even more harsh. It got even more harsh. It was already harsh. Things were already bad. We was already made to serve with rigor to where the scripture says it made the Israelites to howl to the Most High by how oppressive and how hard conditions were in Egypt even before Moses came with the knowledge of salvation. But once he brought the knowledge of salvation to us as Israelites, conditions for us as Israelites, did they get better or did they get more strict, more adverse, more difficult? Things actually got more difficult. Things actually got more
harder for us. Things got more harsh.
Harder, harsh, oppressive.
Difficult, you said already.
Difficult. It was designed and set up for us to lose hope.
More miserable.
conditions got more miserable. It was designed to make us to try and make us lose even more hope. It was designed to make it seem like it was hopeless. That we should not be thinking about our salvation. We should be thinking not our salvation that the Father's bringing. But we should be thinking about what we got to do to survive every day. It got more extreme. And I only want to bring that out, again, as another sign, another marker, that as we're living here in America this time, and the Most High said he requires that which is past, and he's going to strike Egypt with plagues like he did before, we got to come back and understand that there's going to be a lot of things happening to us as Israelites that if we're not careful, we will start to lose hope. And that things are going to get more difficult for us as Israelites. Things are going to get more extreme for us as Israelites. Things are going to seem more hopeless for us as Israelites. We've got to understand what's going on and wake up out of sleep. We got to understand what's happening and not lose hope in the scriptures, not lose hope in the work that we're doing for the Most High. And understanding that, yes, our enemies are going to increase and make conditions more harsh, make conditions more worse for us, to where, let's get Matthew 6:23.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
It'll start at 21 then.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
What a person finds valuable is where their heart is going to be focused on, is where their heart is going to be meditating on, what their mind is going to be given to. What every person finds valuable. Reading on.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Meaning, the body's going to go what the head is looking at, what the eyes are looking at. All right? That's why even like when you're driving, if you look over your shoulder to check your lane, what do most people generally do is you look over your shoulder to check if the lane next to you is empty. The car will drift because you're looking that way, so it'll start to drift. That if you're focused on one thing, then your body's going to follow you in whatever it is you're focused on. And whatever your mind's given to, that's what you're going to be focused on. Reading on, and that's a given. Read.
Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
Meaning, now, if your eye is evil, if your eyes are on the light, if your eyes are on Christ, if your eyes are on what pleases the Most High, you're going to have light. You're going to find all the answers you need because your eyes are on Christ and the Most High. And the Most High's wisdom and knowledge is going to be the stability of our times and the strength of our salvation. As we're in the midst of all these plagues and in the midst of all this harshness and in the midst of all these things that are going to be taking place. But now if my eye is evil, to where now I'm not focused on what the Most High's plans are. I'm not focused on what the Most High wants. Now my whole body's going to be full of darkness. And everywhere I turn, instead of being pessimistic, as opposed to being optimistic, where I have hope and I understand what's going on, it's going to be, everything's going to be pessimistic. Everything's going to be a complaint. Everything's going to be a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any hope. It ain't going to be no good. I don't see it. Why we got to do this? Nothing's going to help. Nothing is going to help. This is all BS. And I ain't got time to study. I ain't got time to be in the Bible. I ain't got time to meditate on what the Most High wants because it's not going to work. How is me studying and getting my head in the book going to help me with my bills? Going to help me with my cost of living? Going to help me with where I'm going to live? How am I going to eat? How am I going to take care of? I don't got time. Look, I got real problems going on. That if your eye is evil, is not focused on what the Most High wants. These are the things that we as Israelites are going to be forced to think about. Just like we as Israelites was forced to think about this when it was time for us to be delivered out of Egypt. We got the knowledge of salvation, but then Pharaoh and that government increased the job productivity requirement. So what it took to survive. Well, if I don't work and get these bills, get this done, where are we going to stay? Where are we going to eat? How are we going to live? And all that was designed. It was by design. It was a plot. It was a conspiracy. So that we will no longer have our eyes focused on what the Most High wants. It was to now just think about self. Now it's just think about my problems. Where I'm going to live. I'm going to eat. I'm going to pay my bills. How's this going to work? But that's what the plan of the Egyptians. Gather together. How am I going to gather together? I got things to do. We got to survive. So now our eye wasn't focused on what the Most High wanted. our eye got focused on something evil, so now we're full of darkness. We know that, holding this real quick, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. And I'm not saying that if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. I'm not trying to make invalid that scripture. I'm not making invalid the scripture of faith without works is dead. But even in quoting the scripture, faith without works is dead, where's your faith in the Most High? Where's your faith in the scriptures? That now your works are showing your faith in the scriptures. As far as Israelites, are we gathering together in the faith of the scriptures, in the faith of the wisdom of the Most High? Or am I being scattered and my mind's on something else that I've got to work because we got to eat, got to be taken care of? And if not, we have no hope. Nothing's going to come through. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, please.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach now, Christ.
Is that 1 and 15?
It is.
2 and 15. 2 and 15.
15. You got it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless.
No, fuck. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Philippians 4.
I'm sorry, it's Titus. Titus 1:15. Forgive me. Titus chapter 1, verse 15.
Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure.
I'm sorry, read it one more time.
You got it. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure.
All right, cool. So, again, to the pure, all things are what?
All things are pure.
And then all things are pure. And how do we purify our minds? Through the scriptures. Through belief in the words of the Most High. That's how we keep our minds pure. By remembering how the Most High works. But if I'm not remembering how the Most High works, because I'm so caught up into my daily survival, what I got to do every day, not in pleasing the Most High, but in just how to live, then there's no way in hell your mind's going to be pure. Not from the Most High's definition. So, reading it one more time.
Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure.
Unto the pure, all things are pure. Read.
But, excuse me, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving.
But to those that are defiled and unbelieving, go ahead.
Is nothing pure.
Then there's not going to be anything pure. To the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is going to be pure.
Always going to be a doubt, or if, or a but. They're just, you're always second guessing every little thing, every decision you make, every thought, like, what should I do? You know, it's always two or three, four options. Yeah, just like the scripture we just got out of talks about a single eye, double mind.
Right.
When that is talking about when it's impure, you're double minded. You never know really what to do. You know, you're playing a crap game with every decision you make. Let's roll the dice here instead of using the wisdom of the Most High, instead of staying studied up so you can use the scriptures.
What was you going to say now, Don? And make sure you speak up.
The definition of pure, not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material.
That's good.
You got to bring it out. You got to bring it out. You read the scripture. The definition is cool. Bring it out.
Basically, you got to be, it's you mix all this other stuff that's in this world and that what we're supposed to be doing, just coming from where we were out of focus with, doing this, one here, doing there, doing all this other things, worrying about our bills, worrying about all this stuff. If we're mixing that in with that's an impure way of looking at the way it most high. The most high is supposed to be our spirit. The most high is the one who's supposed to be our provider. And that's who we're supposed to be relying on to give us the water, give us the things that we need in this life to focus, to maintain and manage what we have to do, as long as we keep him in our thoughts and in our focus and doing his work, he will provide everything else that we need. So mixing all this stuff, it just defiles us. It doesn't keep us clean. It doesn't keep us pure. Our minds are cloudy.
All right, cool. I agree with everything brothers brought out. Titus 1:15, one more time, please.
Titus chapter 1, verse 15.
And just to help back up what y'all are saying, if I could do this. Read.
Mm-hmm. Unto the pure, all things are pure.
Now, again, so what purifies us? Hold this, and let's get Psalms 20, 12 and 6.
Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. To the words of the Lord, excuse me, not to Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth.
Okay, so what is pure?
The words of the Most High.
The words of the Most High. So to the pure, what?
Are pure words.
Right. To the pure.
All things are pure.
All things are pure. So to the pure, if your mind's been purified, then what are the words of the Most High going to be?
Pure.
They're going to be pure.
Unmixed.
They're going to be unmixed.
Unmingled.
They're going to be unmingled.
Right.
Because you're counting on the scriptures. You're counting on things written the foretime were written for our learning. As our foreparents faced these difficulties, as they faced the oppressions, as Moses brought the knowledge of salvation to the Israelites, the conditions get more harsh and difficult for us as Israelites living in Egypt. Yes. And these conditions took place when? After we got the knowledge of salvation. After the prophet was sent, Moses gave us that the knowledge that we're about to be saved. What happened to us? What was the condition for us as Israelites? Things got more harsh. Things got more difficult in order to do what? Make us believe we're not going to be saved. Moses, you said we're going to be saved. Why did things get worse? Moses, my life wouldn't be this bad if you never would have said anything. Moses, what the hell? You said we're going to be saved. But now you don't brought this message, Pharaoh got wind of it, and look how things have gotten bad for us. I was doing better before I got this knowledge. I could cope and handle my bills and my life and what I had going on. You know about this knowledge of salvation, and look how my life has gotten harder. Look how my life's gotten more difficult. Where is this God at, Moses? This is some BS. This is wrong. I wish I never heard this. I should have been happy being an American, or excuse me, being an Egyptian. I wish I never came into this knowledge. Because since you don't came about this knowledge, like Christ, think not that I'm coming to see peace on earth. I came not to see peace, but a sword. You don't give me this knowledge, and now where me and my family was getting along, where me and I was happy in my job, things were cool. You done brought this knowledge of salvation, and look how everything's getting turned, flipped upside down. It'd been better for me if I never heard this before. Look at how our lives have gotten more harsh and more difficult. You say we're supposed to be saved, but you say we're supposed to get saved, and look at how much harder things have gotten. Look at how much more harsh things have gotten. You and your God, Moses. Not the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But because of the present condition, or those conditions that the Israelites had to face once they got the knowledge of salvation, man, my life is just, it sucks. I got the words of the Most High, but instead of believing in the words of the Most High, I'm looking at just how hard and how difficult my life has gotten. I wish I never heard this. life wasn't really that bad. I wish I would just stay in the world. Because now, you don't, since you brought this knowledge of salvation, look at what we got to go through now. It's not gotten easier or more difficult. We're not being saved. It's harder. So the words of the Most High came through Moses. But conditions for Israelites got what? More difficult, more extreme, more harsh. And what was the purpose of that? To defile the words of the Most High. I don't think we're going to get saved. Things have gotten harder, worse, more difficult, more extreme. It was designed to make us stop believing in the scriptures. And while they were in the scriptures at the time, it was designed to have us stop believing in the words of the Most High. And now let me just think about what I'm going through. Think about my problems. Think about self. Not gathering together. Not unifying. Not doing those things that please the Most High. I need to think about self. I'm not keeping the words of the Most High pure. This is some BS. All right, what scripture we have?
Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. Excuse me. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
So it tells you the words of the Most High are what? They're pure. So to the pure, all things are pure. What all things going to be pure? All the words of the Most High are going to be pure. But going back to now, Titus chapter 1, verse 15.
Titus 1, 15. Chapter 1, verse 15. Titus, unto the pure, all things are pure.
To the pure, all things are going to be pure. To the pure, all the words of the Most High are pure. Read.
But unto them that are defiled.
But unto them that are defiled. Go ahead.
And unbelieving.
What is it that we stop believing in?
The words of the Most High.
We stop believing in the words of the Most High. Because now my mind is defiled. It's not pure. Now my mind is mingled with all the problems, all the harshness, all the difficulties that now we're going through once I got this knowledge. Now I let all these other things enter in. So now the words of the Most High are no longer pure. I ain't got time to think about what the Most High wants. I got to survive. I got to do for me. Now all that scripture, words of the Most High, doing all that, I ain't got time for that. This ain't religion. I got to deal with reality. So now the words of the Most High are no longer pure. And now to the defiled and unbelieving, I ain't believing that. I'm not believing the scriptures. I'm not putting my faith in the words of the Most High. I got to put my faith in my hands. I got to put my faith in my destiny, my faith, my hands, what I do, how I work, what I got to get done. Because this God of Israel, this God of Moses, that shit ain't working. Since you bought this knowledge and I came to this truth, things have only gotten worse for me. Things have got better. While I was worshiping, going back like to the Israelites in Egypt, while I was worshiping Nimrod or worshiping Osiris, life was okay. You know about this knowledge about this Israelite God? My life sucks. My life is hard. I should have stayed in whatever religion and the way I was doing things before. You come back now? I've been deceived. I've been duped. I've been tricked. I've been mocked. I've been bamboozled. Being Israelite, being saved, I'm supposed to have this. Life's supposed to get easier for me. But again, are Israelites coming back and are we, things written the fourth time, being written for our learning? Are we learning from the reading? Are we learning from what our forefathers went through in the past? So we don't lose hope. so that our mind stays pure. Titus 1:15 again, please.
Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure.
Then none of the words of the Most High are going to be pure. Then none of the words of the Most High are going to be pure. This is why in 1 Corinthians 3, we're not going to go there. It says that the wisdom of this world, when it comes to the Most High, is what? Foolish. But it also tells you what? I guess we do need to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. And we're still holding Matthew. We're still holding Matthew.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
The natural man. Curious. What definition do we have for natural? Okay, I got it. The noun. If y'all got it, look for natural in the Webster Dictionary, 1828. look for the noun.
Okay, so you want me to read the first one?
Yeah.
I'll scroll down quite a bit.
It's at the bottom. But let's read 1 Corinthians 2:14 one more time, and then come back with the definition. Okay. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
So now we're going to read the definition of natural from the 1828, Webster's 1828 dictionary. And we're going to read the first two for the noun natural. What do we have?
Insert it.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the one born without the usual powers of reason and understanding.
Oh, you didn't say an idiot first?
Not on mine. It just says one born without.
All right. Mine says it's the same definition, but before it says one born without the usual powers of reason, mine says an idiot.
Oh, entry 1 of 2. Okay, wait a second.
Let's read 1 Corinthians. I'll insert it in. 1 Corinthians 2:14 one more time.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Cool. So now I just want to go in and insert the word natural definition from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I'm reading the first definition under the noun natural. And it says, an idiot, one born without the usual powers of reason or understanding. So the natural man, or an idiot, or one born without the usual powers of reason or understanding, does not receive the things of the Most High. What is it that we get from the Most High? His words. What's purer than silver? His words. So now, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the undefiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure, and even their minds have been corrupted. To where now, the idiot who has born without the usual powers of reason or understanding the pure words of the Most High will think that the words of the Most High are foolish. Why? Because you're an idiot. Can y'all look up idiot? Can we look up idiot? Idiot. Number two says natural, a native or original inhabitant. If you're still going by how you grew up, your powers of reason by how you grew up, your logic by how you grew up, your logic and powers of reason of how you understand things, and it's not based on the words of the Most High, you're going to think the ways of the Most High is foolish because you're an idiot. What do we have for idiot?
Idiot. A natural fool.
Okay. An idiot, the natural fool, does not receive the things of the Spirit of the Most High. Does not receive the words of the Most High. Because you are a natural fool. You are an idiot. All right, cool.
Or fool from his birth.
Damn, you've been a fool from since when?
From his birth.
From your birth, you've been a fool. Then now as the words of the Most High come, that's foolish to you. That don't make no sense to you. Why are we going to do it that way? That ain't going to work. As the person is spitting all that, what are they showing? Your mind's defiled. You're not pure. Your mind ain't pure. You've intermingled a lot of other things, a lot of other evil. But what the Most High is going on to where you don't see the ways of the Most High being right, true, proper, intelligent, or wisdom. You are a natural born fool, an idiot. You have no understanding when it comes to the ways of the Most High. Your power of reason, how you reason things out, obviously it doesn't work with the Most High because you're still an idiot. You were born a fool. What else we got?
A human being in form.
Okay, you're a human being in form. Go ahead.
But destitute of reason.
But you are destitute of reason. Good God. How have I not looked this word up before? You can't be reasoned with. Somebody trying to show you the scriptures makes no sense to you. Why? You are an idiot. This is what the Bible says. Reading it from the top, idiot.
Idiot.
I need this. This is gonna get archived for real. Where we at?
Idiot. In the Webster's 1828, a natural fool.
You're a natural fool, read.
Or fool from birth.
You've been a fool from your birth. Your mama didn't teach you right. Your dad didn't teach you right. Was that mama no good, daddy no good, some rock and roll? Come on, y'all. How's that song go?
Mama no dancing, oh, daddy yeah. No rock and roll.
Yeah, that exactly.
Well, time to go.
Your mama didn't teach you right, and your daddy didn't teach you right. You were a natural born fool. You have not learned to accept the words of the Most High as being pure. I'm sorry. We might end the class, but I don't know if I'm going to get off of this one.
It wasn't done yet. So
I know. I keep interrupting. I apologize. Go ahead.
Idiot. A natural fool.
You're a natural fool. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Or fool from his birth.
A fool from your birth.
A human being in form, but destitute of reason or the ordinary intellectual powers of man.
You don't have oh my God. It says the ordinary English powers of what?
Man.
Now, real quick, Ahmad, quick, Proverbs 12 and 8 tells us what? Behind that definition right there, Proverbs 12 and 8 says what?
Just about there. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. I'm right there. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom.
When does God recognize a man? By his wisdom. When a man decides to use the Most High's wisdom, that's when God recognizes you as a man. Not because you don't reach the age of 18, not because you don't reach the age of 21, not because you are 35 years old. In God's eyes, that don't make you a man. You can still be the biggest bumbling idiot around. Again, read that again, please, from the top.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom.
The Most High says he recognizes you as a man when you use his wisdom. Not because you have babies. Not because you got a lot of money in your pocket. Not because you can vote, drink, own a gun. God recognizes a person as being a man when that man is using the wisdom of the Most High. So going back to the definition of idiot,
a natural fool or fool from his birth, a human being in form.
A human being in form. Go ahead.
But destitute of reason. Or the ordinary intellectual powers of man.
You don't have the ordinary intellectual powers of a man. You don't have the intellectual powers of a man who knows how to use this Bible. A man that knows how to trust in the words of the Most High. Your intellect sucks. Your power of reasoning is stupid. You can't see the words of the Most High. You stop believing in the words of the Most High. You're an idiot. You're going to just go by what you know naturally, what you grew up with, what your mama taught you, what your daddy taught you, your friends taught you. That's what you're holding on to? God says, the Bible's telling us, through definitions, you are an idiot. Any other definitions?
A person who is understanding enough to measure a yard of cloth, number 20 correctly, and tell the days of the week. Basically, he doesn't have no...
Read the first one.
A natural fool or fool from his birth, a human being in form, but destitute of reason, or the ordinary intellectual powers of man.
You don't have the ordinary intellectual powers of a man that understands the words of the Most High. The wisdom of the Most High is foolishness to you. Going back to 1 Corinthians 2:14.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14.
Go ahead.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
And again, that natural man, that idiot, that one who is
destitute of reason or the ordinary intellectual powers of man.
You're destitute of reason and the ordinary intellectual powers of a man. Your intellect, you're stupid. The way you reason and the way you put things together in God's eyes, makes no sense. As much as you're saying God's ways don't make no sense, God's looking at you, your ways make absolutely no sense at all. No, you're not smart. No, your intellect is missing. You know, brothers, what we can see that this scripture is true. That as you keep giving scriptures to people, if they're saying to you, "You treat me like a child," is that a true statement?
Yeah.
Based on this definition we're going over right now, when you give somebody scriptures and they come back and tell you, "You make me feel like a child," is that a correct statement? Yeah. If I'm giving you the scriptures and how you should be thinking and how you should be looking at things, and that makes you feel like a child, guess what? Because you've been operating as an idiot. Your intellect is not the intellect of a man. You're not grown. If your intellect is not the intellect of a man, that makes you what? A child. Your reasoning, you reason like a child. So if I'm giving you more scriptures and that makes you feel like a child, didn't Paul say, "When I was a child, I thought I was a child. I understood as a child. I spoke as a child." But Paul said, "What? When I became a
man,
what?
I put away childish things.
Paul said, "What? In malice be ye what? Children. But in understanding be what?
Men.
First Corinthians 2:14. We're gonna wrap this up.
First Corinthians 2:14, chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God."
The natural man, the idiot, does not receive the things of the Most High. And what does the Most High give us? His words, his wisdom, his understanding. That idiot that was born this way and still going by what he knows from his birth. How he reasons things from his birth. And not from what the scripture says. The natural man receiving not the things of the Most High. What does the Most High give us? His words. Reading on.
"For they are foolishness unto him."
Because that idiot is going to think the ways of the Most High is foolish. Because it doesn't go with that childish intellect that idiot has. With that childish reasoning that idiot has. Read.
"Because they are spiritually discerned."
Because you got to be in the spirit. Now, we know, is it 1 Corinthians 2:17?
That's where we're at now.
Okay, let me get it real quick. I'm trying to be quick.
No problem.
It's Romans.
2:17?
That might be it. 7:14. Romans 7:14.
Romans chapter 7, verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual."
The law is what?
Spiritual.
The law is spiritual. God's law is what? Spiritual. But what did 1 Corinthians 2:14 tell us?
That the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Most High, for they are foolishness unto him.
Go ahead.
"Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned."
Because it's spiritually discerned. And what is spiritual? God's law. You had to be involved with God's law to be able to discern. And God's law is talking about what? His words. You had to be caught up in his words and his law, his spirit, to understand what he's talking about. But if you're going to just go by what you know as a natural idiot, you're just going by what you grew up with, how you reason, how you logic, the intellect you grew up with. But you're not going to be into the law of the Most High. You're not going to be into the ways of the Most High to understand the spirit of the Most High. You're stuck on what you grew up with, how you reason things from how you grew up. Childish, without the ways of the Most High. If you're not caught up into the law of the Most High, the words of the Most High, the ways of the Most High, you're going to think that what the Most High has got you going through is foolish and stupid. Because you're not pure. Your minds ain't pure. Your spirit's not pure. You're not washing your mind. You're not cleansing your mind. So as the words of the Most High keep coming to you, you're going to think that's foolish. Because your mind is defiled and corrupted. If it was like a computer, you got a virus. You got some malware. There's something interfering with the connection. You're not pure. And you're bringing all these other elements in. You're mingling too much shit. And you're mingling all this stuff instead of just going by the pure word of the Most High. Like Peter told us, desire the sincere milk of the word of the Most High that you might grow thereby. How's the man going to understand? Who's he going to make to understand knowledge? Those that are weaned from the milk. You're just drinking from the milk. You're just going from the words of the Most High. So the ways of the Most High make sense. But when you're mingling everything else or other things in your reasoning, your intellect, your logic, what you knew from birth, you're corrupting your own mind. You're corrupting your own way. Said the ways of the Most High now are going to seem foolish. Said the ways of the Most High now are going to seem dumb. Because you're going by what you know naturally as an idiot. Your intellect is lacking. Your intellect ain't there. Your power of reasoning, you don't have the power of reasoning. You're a human being, but you're not a man. You're not grown. You have the reasoning powers of a child. 1 Corinthians 2:14, and in Matthew, we can finish in Matthew 6 as we get the last 3 minutes, real quick.
1 Corinthians 2:14, chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
Neither can he know them.
And you're not going to know what the words of the Most High are. You ain't going to stand the Spirit of the Most High. Go ahead.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
You have to be involved with God's law. You have to be involved with God's words to change your intellect, to change your reasoning, to change how you look and perceive things, so you can understand how God does things and why it's wisdom and why it's proper. Going back real quick to Matthew 6, we can finish this up. We're going to read it kind of quick. Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 21.
Yes, sir.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So if you make the words of the Most High your treasure, which are pure, read.
The light of the body is the eye.
And then the light of your body that's coming through your eyes, if you're making the words of the Most High pure, you're studying, you're getting the ways of the Most High, the words of the Most High, the law of the Most High, how he does things, then your eyes are going to be full of light. Read.
If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Read.
But if thine eye be evil.
Be evil. It's not pure no more. You're mingling the words of the Most High with other crap, with your own childish, ungodly, no words of the Most High, power of reasoning and intellect. Read.
But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness.
Then you're full of darkness. There's no optimism. The words of the Most High ain't right. Read.
If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
How much mingling of God's word and whatever else you're bringing in is there? Read.
No man can serve two masters.
You can't serve two masters. Read.
For either he will hate the one and love the other.
Go ahead.
Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
Go ahead.
Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Why is he saying this? Read.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life.
Why would a man be serving money? Because he's thinking about what?
His necessities.
What verse did you just read?
Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life.
He's worried about his life.
I'm so worried about my life, that's why I need this money. And because I need this money, because I'm worried about my life,
mm-hmm.
I ain't got time to think about the scriptures.
I'm going to die without this money.
I can't think about how the ways of the Most High.
Right.
I can't, the wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Most High is foolish. Because I'm so caught up worried about me. The same way Pharaoh implemented that plan back in ancient Egypt. I got to get y'all worried about y'all cost of living, how y'all going to survive. I can't get y'all thinking about the words of the Most High about salvation and what y'all need to do to in order to be saved. I can't have y'all thinking about that. I need y'all to think about your life. I need y'all thinking more about what the hell it is you're going to go through and how you're going to survive. So you better be out here getting this money. Don't study. Don't be in the scriptures at all. You just worry about your life. You just worry about you. Because that Bible shit ain't paying no bills. That Bible shit ain't putting food on your table. That ain't working. Read.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life.
Take no thought for your life. Read.
What ye shall eat.
Read.
Or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body.
What? In this world, what provides what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and your body and your life? What takes care of those things in this world? Money. So while you paper chasing, guess what you ain't chasing?
The Most High's words.
The Most High's words. It ain't there. Because your first priority is you. Your first priority is self. And the ways of the Most High just don't make no sense to you at all. But again, things being the fourth time, we're in for our learning. Yeah, Israelites went to work back in Egypt. I'm not saying we didn't. But the first priority was what? Just like I said in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness. Let me show you my first priority is doing what the Most High wants first. Then he's going to provide the way to make sure everything's taken care of. But my first priority is just me and what I'm going through. And that's all my reasoning. That's all my intellect. That's all my logic. Then no, you're going to burn out. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So I see that the time has come upon us. I want to thank the brothers that joined me this morning. And I do apologize for us starting late again today. We will have class later on this evening here at the school, 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. Any and everybody is welcome to come and join us tonight as we break bread, starting at 8 p.m. All right, class tonight, we'll be starting at 8 p.m. And again, reminders, this Saturday, we will be having celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And instead of being in the houses or in the building, we want to get out in nature. The weather's forecast to be down near 90 degrees Saturday. So we want to get out and be outside, all right, and enjoy the beautiful land of enchantment. All right. So we invite you, please, get in touch with any one of the brothers. Come by the school tonight and let us know if you can attend, if you will be attending, and what you might be able to bring towards for this feast, right? For this celebration, as we rejoice in gathering together, as we rejoice and come together, right, on this high holy day, the Pentecost. So with that, please join us tonight in Albuquerque, 7710 Suite F, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. If not, today is Thursday. You can catch The Hidden Truth on Comcast cable channel number 17 if you happen to be in the Houston metro area. Or you can go online to hmstv.org. Again, starting at 8:30 Houston time, you catch The Hidden Truth. Or if you're in San Antonio, we invite you to go to the school, 4219 Senegate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 7217, as the Brother Kevin Cobb will be doing class tonight in San Antonio, starting 8 p.m. San Antonio time. So with that, my name is Mashaba.
I'm Mark.
You know what's up.
And for all the brothers and sisters in Albuquerque, we would like to go ahead and say shalom.
Shalom.